from this one from Champion State will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margin, sometimes with black, white, and lorry.
He's also informed by the need to save costs, reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this abysmal, if Parliament does not raise this money,
and controversial.
If driving through the roads is a case in the Macabadan, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obu at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Good afternoon, everybody. And I'm actually doing the intro to the Public Square this afternoon in the absence of Ahoho. So we're going to start straight off with the ideas segment. As you know, ideas stands for integrity, democracy, ethics, and accountability. And my guest on the program this afternoon is Ike Akaraiwe Esquire, SAN, Senior Advocate of Nigeria. He's a former first vice president of the Nigerian Bar Association. He's the convener of, well, I call it the famous rule of law discussion group. We call ourselves Rawlites. And he practices law in Enugu. Ike, you're welcome to the ideas segment.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, Ike, the topic, our topic of discussion this afternoon is that is about the Supreme Court, the financing of the judiciary, because as you remember, Nigerians were shocked when a letter was leaked to the public in which 14 justices of the Supreme Court had written to the Chief Justice of Nigeria, Tanko Muhammad, complaining about the state of affairs in the court. And in a reply which actually confirms the authenticity of the letter, the Chief Justice deplored the way in which the matter had come to public attention, likening it to dancing naked in the marketplace. Well, it is in the public attention, and if it means we're dancing, the court is dancing naked in the marketplace, so be it. But may I just first ask you, what do you think are the issues that are raised by this matter here?
Yes. Thank you for this opportunity. First of all, the hidden issue. Mm-hmm. The hidden issue is, it does seem as if the Chief Justice cannot be reached easily by his brother justices, which is why they would have had to write him a letter. Mm-hmm. That for me is very, very troubling.
Yes.
That I think is the invisible issue, and in fact, the letter kept on alluding to why they had to write him such a letter. They kept on referring to it, and that it would be a shame if the country would have to begin to cause the internal disputes among the justices. It would be a shame that if they cannot resolve down disputes when they resolve the disputes of other citizens between the legislature and the executive arm, for instance, or between states and the federal government. It would be a shame if they couldn't, or if they would appear not to be able to resolve their own disputes internally. That intro spoke a lot, spoke very deeply, and it's a bit frightening. Because apparently, I mean, for them, these are mature, highly educated and intelligent individuals. Most of them are grandfathers and grandmothers.
Grandmothers.
Yes.
What do you think about the actual content of the letter? Because, as you say, it exposes that there is a breakdown or there is a lack of communication between the judges and the justices and the chief justice. But what about the actual the issues that they raised?
Yes. For example, that electricity supply has become epileptic in the court. And there was a circular recently that they should all close by 4 o'clock. And for justices grappling with thousands of rulings and judgments to effectively circumscribe them to civil service hours. Is undermining of their output. And then they complain also that even at home, with the high cost of diesel, they do not receive sufficient funding, sufficient support, so that they can't even have electricity at home. They do not have access to the internet as they would like to because of the funding issues. These are some of the issues they complain about. Then, of course, one which is possibly more of a personal perk, going overseas for conferences and workshops has been reduced, and even the very few remaining are not allowed to go with accompanying guests, maybe wives or husbands, personal assistants, as the case may be, but the chief justice has been known to go with his household. But
those overseas trips, is it just a matter of going on jamboree, or is there some aspect of those trips which actually enhances the work of the Supreme Court?
I would like to respect them by saying that it must enhance their work. I assume that if they wanted to go on holiday or jamboree, they wouldn't go in the guise of a conference. They would take their holiday. I think they're entitled to holidays. I don't know what I'm going to say next. That's maybe some holiday allowance. I don't know that. But so I assume, out of respect for those distinguished men and women in the apex courts, whose average age is maybe 65, I assume that it enhances their work, that perhaps they are exposed to ongoing developments in the law in other places of the world. I'm assuming that they are experiencing some loss because they're not allowed to go any longer. I know a couple of justices complained several years ago when the former chief justice, First Lady Chief Justice, Honorable Justice Aloma Maryam Mukhtar, stopped justices from going to the International Bar Association. She says, before you go, you must get permission from me, and she refused all applications. I know that judges of the High Court and Court of Appeal, many of them complained that this is really undermining. So I'm assuming, yes, that's it.
So there's a danger of their becoming a bit insular if they don't have these opportunities.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
I said, so there's a danger of their becoming a bit insular if they don't have these opportunities.
Yes, I'm thinking that is what they are saying in that regard.
Now, with regard to the actual funding, because as you know, the Chief Justice of Nigeria gave a response. And but Nigerians had thought that the problem of funding the judiciary when they had to be going cap in hand to the executive branch to ask for money to run the courts and pay the judges and the staff, get the equipment they need, that all that would have been taken care of by making the funding for the judiciary a first line charge on the Federation account. Why is it that we are still in this problem?
This is the most frightening aspect of the problem, that whereas we have agitated for years that the Supreme Court, the entire judiciary should be a first line charge, and shouldn't go cap in hand to the executive arm any longer, but should receive their monies directly into their account with the chief judge or chief justice, as the case may be, and the chief registrar, who is the administrator of the court, disbursing the monies. But for there to be a complaint in the Supreme Court in a situation where it will appear as if the chief justice and the chief registrar are disbursing directly and not going cap in hand to the executive for money for generator and money for fuel and all those undermining conditions of the past. For this problem to be ongoing, we should be very worried, because that means that if and when the states begin to implement the independence of the judiciary in that regard, we are going to have judges and their chief judge in all likelihood fighting over this sort of situation.
So, Ike, where does accountability lie in respect of spending by the judiciary? I mean, is their budget above scrutiny? Is it just something that is worked out, or dare I say cooked up, between the Chief Justice and the Chief Registrar, and the other judges or others don't have a say or any input into it? Who's accountable for this money?
Accountability should certainly be in place. The Chief Justice and the Chief Registrar are directly accountable, and there should be oversight institutions oversighting.
But I mean, what institutions are those? Is it the National Assembly? Is it the Executive? Is it the ICPC?
I think that the Judicial Service Commission, the Federal Judicial Service Commission, has a primary oversight in this regard. Okay. But then the dysfunctional constitution, I am sorry to use that phrase to describe the constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, makes the Chief Justice of Nigeria the chairman of the FJSC and the chairman of virtually all the bodies that could play some oversight role, National Judicial Institute.
So they're not really independent, because he's at the apex of all of them,
everything in the judiciary, including the Legal Practitioners Privileges Committee, everything. But having said that, it is clear, crystal clear, that the justices input into the budget, the process of creating the budget, is not sought.
Yes,
because if their input was sought, I'm sure this letter will not be necessary. They will sit down and thrash out all the issues and say, Nico, this is what we need, or this is this area.
At least we would have a situation where if the amount that is released does not meet up with the budgets, everybody would understand and understand in the context.
Precisely.
There's just one thing. I mean, we're almost at the end of our time, I'm afraid, but 15 minutes goes so quickly, okay? But I just wanted to know what you make of, I mean, because we are all, as we're sitting here now, we're all living witnesses to the way that the health illnesses and health emergencies can really subject people without money to stresses on their integrity. What do we make of the complaint that the Supreme Court clinic itself is underfunded?
That again is so tragic. But are you surprised when no less a personality than the First Lady complained that you can get aspirin or Panadol from the State House clinic? There is something very wrong. My good friend, Honorable Justice Sam Oseji of blessed memory, I call him my big brother because we were classmates and called me in the law school, and is much older than I am, come from the same place. He died last year, and he told me of his experience in the clinic. He told me of the sheer non-availability of anything. And I think his death
isn't there a budget for these things? I mean, as I say, we're at the end of our time, and I can see that Wenga is going to be giving me a gimlet eye any minute now. But because all of this, you know, it's in the public domain, and the dance is being done, whether naked or clothed. And what do you think it does in respect of the confidence that people have in the judiciary? Do you think that they will say, well, even though they don't have money, we can rely on these judges to do the right thing? Or do you think that they will start to fear that they that the judges are in need, and if the other side decides to try and meet some of the need of the judge, they could be left behind? You know, we saw situations before where money was being paid for holidays and books, yes, and all sorts, yes, of things. How do you feel the
perception? The perception out there, and a few people have called me yelling over the phone, how can this be happening? The perception is certainly very weakening to the standing of the judiciary in the public eye. Very weakening. And look at it, for 3 years, no meeting, 2 years rather, no meeting of the justices. Since November 2020 until March this year, the justices, 18 of them, 17 of them have not sat together to meet to discuss anything, according to the letter. This is very weakening.
It's very astonishing.
People begin to think that there's some institutional weakness that encourages the perception of corruption, which may be wrong, but then perception is reality.
Hmm. Well, exactly. Certainly, it's as important as the reality. So, what, yes. Lastly, what do you think should be done? I mean, we talk about transparency. Is that going to be the solution to this, or participation? How, in closing, would you say that this problem can be addressed by the Chief Justice and the Supreme Court judges?
Yes, this situation exposes the Chief Justice to his leadership capacity. He needs to show leadership at this point. His reply is one thing. He needs to call his brother justices together. He's first among equals. He's not superior to them. He's done quite a few good things in the Supreme Court, but he needs to call them together and resolve this matter in a strategic way. And then all of them together should do the unprecedented, address the press with him speaking, and then after that, the most senior among them should respond. I think that would be Ariwola. Respond and say, yes, we are okay now. Issues have been resolved. Nothing less than that. He needs to not begin to quarrel with them, mm-hmm, but to become tied with them. A house divided against itself cannot stand.
Thank you so much, Ike Akaraiwe, Esquire, Essay, and thank you so much for being my guest on the Ideas segment in the public square. I'm handing back to Wenga.
All right, thank you so much. All right, thank you so much for being a part of this.
Thank you. My pleasure.